Okay, if you open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Well, put one hand in Psalm 23, at least, and the other hand, put it into Genesis, chapter 1. Okay. Psalm 23. Okay. Tonight is actually about Psalm 23. This is a psalm that always spoke to my heart. I hope it speaks to yours. But, you know, when I was in school, I used to drill, put poetry down my neck. And I never really could see the point of poetry. I mean, it was nice words about what, you know, but, I mean, the Bible has poetry in it, and it's the Psalms. And it's a whole different thing for me to see the Psalms and the poetry that's there, and it means something. These words are real, they're true, they're not just fictitious or made up, but the Psalms are special. There's no doubt about it, God wrote the Psalms, amen. Even though David might have penned them down, but God showed him what to write. So Psalm 23, it starts off, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord. Now notice that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And that implies submission to a divine authority. Now if you go to Genesis chapter 1, I just wondered where this word Lord came from originally. Where did it start in the Bible? And, you know, lots of people say, oh, we call him God, we call him God this and God that. But the Lord God, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That word Lord is something, there's something about it. And when if you go to Genesis chapter 1, and you look through it there, and you go into verse 1, "In the beginning God," and verse 2, "The Spirit of God," and verse 3, "And God said," and verse 4, "And God saw the light," and verse 5, "And God called the light day," and verse 6, "And God said," and verse 7, "And God made," and verse 8, "And God called," and 9, "God said," and it goes on, "And God called," and 11, "God said," and you don't see the word Lord in Genesis chapter 1. And you go to Genesis chapter 2, and there's something different about this, because this is where the word Lord first appears, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And this is where we have the commandment from God. In verse 16, "And the Lord God commanded the man," saying, notice it's the Lord God, not just God. "It's the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, nor for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So here we have the commandment, and it's from the Lord, L-O-R-D. Now David, in Psalm 23, if you go back to Psalm 23, David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's the Lord God. Now that implies he's in submission. He's in obedience to God. The Lord is my shepherd. It's not just, he is my shepherd. It's the Lord is my shepherd. That means I need to obey what he's saying, amen. That's a whole different thing. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, that commandment from the Lord, he said, "Of every tree thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, or fruit and evil, I shall not take of it. From the day they eat of it, thou shalt surely die." Now, there's a problem. That's the problem with the world. Everybody, if you like, has eaten from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They have sinned against God, and as a result of their sin, they have died spiritually. You can't hear me? No? All right. Okay. So, okay, I'm going to speak up a bit louder. Right. That's the problem with the world. They're dead in sins. Now the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, and you have he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, that is the state of the world. People are dead in their trespasses and sins. And in Ephesians, we see chapter 2, verse 1, and you have he quickened, that means made alive. And that's talking about the spiritual rebirth of a sinner. And John chapter 3, verse 3 says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, says Jesus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, we're reading this psalm here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, there's a lot of people reading this today, and they love to hear this at funerals and places like that. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. It's like it's for the dead. It's not for the dead. It's for the living. Amen. This is for the living, and this is for the Christian. This is for the person that's been born again. He has the Spirit of God in him. The Lord is my shepherd. There's lots of people out there saying, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. He is not their shepherd. First of all, they haven't been born again. They're not children of God. Jesus calls them the lost sheep. They're out there. They have another father. It is not God. So they've not been born again. If they're not being born again, they're not in God's family. It says in the Bible this way. It says in Matthew 7, it says, they call him Lord, but he's not their Lord. He says, everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many would say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that is the situation. Most people do not know Jesus as their Savior. So they can't really call him, he is my shepherd. Now, if you have been born again and you know Jesus as your Savior, you can say this psalm just like David did. You can say, the Lord is my shepherd, amen. I belong to him. And you can say that with faith, praise God. Now, the Lord is referred to as shepherd. As we're singing, we're talking about sheep, amen. The Lord is referred to as shepherd, then people are referred to as sheep. No. If King David, the greatest king that ever ruled Israel, and probably the best king that ever ruled in this world, if he can refer to himself as sheep, then I think we can too, can't we? Amen? And if Jesus, being God, can come to this earth and humble himself and refer himself to as the Lamb of God, and he never sinned once, and he came to die on the cross to pay for the penalty for the sins of the world, for all your sins. I mean, if he can do that, we can humble ourselves and refer to ourselves as sheep. Amen. So, but praise God. The Bible says, Isaiah 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, obviously, I'm trying to, if there's anybody here that's not saved, I'm zone in on them, amen, because I want them saved. But anyhow, I'm not sure if there's anybody not saved here tonight, but anyway, let's go through it, because we can always use it, amen. Go to John chapter 10, verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1. And here's Jesus speaking. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now, Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So here's Jesus referring to himself as the door. He's the door into heaven, amen. He's a door into eternal life. You have to go through Jesus if you want to go to heaven. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, amen. And there's the word saved in the Bible. And I believe it's, if you look in the New Testament alone, you find the word saved or saved about 50 times. And how come the word never talks about being saved, amen? How come they never say, are you saved? Or you only hear the Christians say that. But it's there over 50 times. Saved, saved, saved. This is a Bible term, amen? You must be saved. You must be saved through Jesus Christ. It says in verse 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. And look at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. That's what David is saying. The Lord is my shepherd. He knows him. And he's known of Jesus. Amen. Now it goes on there. I mean, it's... let's just keep reading. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. So here's Jesus again talking about laying down his life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. And no man taketh it from me. I like that, you know. Jesus gave his life. Nobody killed him. It wasn't that it was an unfortunate accident on the cross. It was, he gave himself. He's like the lamb that came up. And the priest is there with a knife. He's like the lamb that walk up onto the knife and put his head on it, his neck on it. That's Jesus. He gave himself. He gave his life. No man take it from me. I lay it down for myself. He said, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Oh, he could have stopped them. He could have brought down legions of angels and wiped them all out if he wanted to. Those soldiers that came to take him. But he showed his deity when they did come. And when he said, I am he, when they asked for Jesus, they fell back. So he showed his deity. So nobody took the life of Jesus from him. He gave himself. He came to die, amen. This commandment have I received of my Father. No. Now, if you are born again here tonight and you have been saved, you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus, then you can call him my shepherd, amen. Praise God. And this is the rest of the psalm. We're going to continue in the rest of Psalm 23. So, if you're not saved, this doesn't apply to you. But if you are saved, amen, this is for you. And you can take great comfort in it. This is a psalm. It's comforting to the heart. If you're not saved, then you need to get saved. Amen. This psalm won't make much sense to you. But if I remember one time I opened my Bible for the first time. And I was looking for wisdom in an old Catholic Bible. And I remember looking through the Book of Wisdom. You ever see that? I said, there must be wisdom in the Book of Wisdom. And I said, I don't know what to. Couldn't make sense of it. But I remember reading Proverbs. I had more wisdom, but I couldn't understand it. And the Psalms. I said, who would talk like that, you know? What does that mean, you know? But now, it's different. It's real to me, you know? I don't know. It must be God working on my heart and making me more like Jesus, because I can relate to these Psalms. Like, these words speak to my heart. And I guess the more more we get like Jesus, the more real these words are to us.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's open this up. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. God is a shepherd and provides for all the needs of his flock. In Psalm 34, verse 9, it says, "O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." I mean, that's obedience, you know. Stay in the fold where God can take care of you. You know, if you can picture the sheep there, and he stays where he should stay, amen. He stays in the protection where God wants him to be. You see, God separates us from the world. You got sheep in the fold, in God's family, and you got sheep out in the world. That's where the wolf is. And that's a dangerous place to be, amen. But if you stay close to God, you're safe, right? You can imagine a sheep is vulnerable. Huh? Wolves can get him. A lion can get him. Bear, whatever. You know, the Bible talks about Satan seeking whom he may devour. You know, so that's what we're like. We're like those lambs, you know, sheep, and we're vulnerable to attack. So we've got to stay close to the Lord. That's where we have safety. As David can say, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." Psalm 37 says, "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." And David says, "I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He provides all the way," amen. All the way. You never see a good man of God begging. You know? I mean, he'll beg to God. He'll beg to God on his knees all the time, amen. But you won't see him on the street begging. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Okay. Verse 2. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Now, let's just take that. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know, he maketh me. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. Sorry, let me just take this one step at a time. To lie down. Okay? Do you ever see the cows lying down in the summertime? Yeah? They're content. Amen? They're full. They're warm. They're in a place of safety. They feel okay. Amen? And they're quite happy. And David is saying, "He maketh me to lie down." Do you know what? He gives us rest. He places us in a safe place. And as we stay close to him and far from sin, he takes away also our fear. You're lying down? That means you're at rest. Amen? If you find it hard to rest as a Christian, or you just can't get yourself to rest in the Lord, you know what? You can take comfort in this. He says, "He maketh me to lie down." That means he makes you to lie down. Sometimes you need rest. He'll make you to rest. Amen. He'll take you out of a troubled life. He'll help sort out your circumstances if you let him. And he'll take away your troubles, or he'll help you through. So you'll find rest. So you can sleep peacefully at night. The Bible says it this way: "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest," it says, "makest me dwell in safety." Psalm 127:2 says as well, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep."
That's right.
So he maketh me to lie down, amen. Do you know, if you want to go out into the world and go out with the lost sheep of this world and live the worldly life, you'll have no peace. You know, the Bible calls us being trampled on by the world. And you've got to stay close to the Lord. Stay in his will. And he'll make you to lie down. He'll make it easy for you. Amen. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." You know what green pastures are? They're soft, tender grass. Beautiful, rich, lovely grass. For sheep, that's just heaven. It's warm and it's comfortable, you know. That food is nourishing. It's healthy. It's natural. It's like unprocessed. It's full of vitamins and minerals. Amen. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, What about green pastures for the soul? Matthew 4:4, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I mean, that's food for the soul, the word of God, amen? We've got to feed of that every day. So he makes me lie down in green pastures. What about salvation? It's all paid for. We don't have to go working for it. Amen? So no more works. You can lie down. You can rest. You know, we had Dr. Doing. You ever remember Dr. Dudon? It's either you're either doing or it's done. You're either working for your salvation or it's already paid for by Jesus. You're doing or you're done. Well, in David's case, it's done because he can lie down. He maketh me to lie down. No more works for salvation. He has good works, of course, but not for salvation. Okay. What about, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Let's go on a bit, sorry. Skipped a whole lot here. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me by the beside the still waters. He leadeth me. There was a case there of somebody, you know, not rightly dividing the word of truth. And they started, you know, some people just open their Bibles and go, oh, you know, and look at there. Oh, you know, getting it totally out of context, you know. You can do that. And somebody opened up the Bible and it says, what do you say? Not want? He maketh me to lie. He maketh me to lie. No, keep going. Don't stop there. Keep it in context. He maketh me to lie down. Oh, yeah, in green pastures. He kept reading anyway, and he goes reading. He says, he leadeth me beside the still. He leadeth me beside the still. That could be right. No, keep reading. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Oh, yeah, okay. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, he leadeth. Shepherds in Israel are known for leading their sheep. You know? You see them up here in Ireland, over in Connemara, they'll be driving them like this. You know, yup, shouting at them. Get the dog after them, you know? But the shepherds in Israel will just walk like this, and the sheep will follow. You know what? Because they know their shepherd, and the shepherd knows them. Isn't that a good example? They walk, the shepherds walk in front, and the sheep will follow. Now Jesus is our example, and he calls us to follow him. Note that he doesn't drive us, thank God. He doesn't drive us with a stick, but he gently leads us, amen. He walks and we follow. He leads us today by his word. We read his word. It says in Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So praise God, he leads us. Where does he lead us? In the psalm it says, beside the still waters. Amen. So not only does he provide for our food, but he satisfies our thirst. Amen. In John 4:14, it says it this way, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So praise God, he satisfied the thirst. There's a hunger in the heart and he satisfies it. There's a void, he fills it, amen. But he leadeth me beside the still waters. They're not troubled waters, they're not torrential waters, they're not waterfalls. They're still water. It's not stagnant water. It's moving slowly. Okay, it's life, has life in it. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There was a place over in Blarney, and I used to go down there a lot. By the tower, I don't know if you know, on the far side of Blarney, there's a small tower, and there's a little car park and a little river there. And after church on Sundays, I go over there, and it's a little public place. You go down, you can just lie down there on the grass, and beside that kind of a still water flow. That was lovely. It's very relaxing, you know. You know, a lot of people find, you know, water, just the sound of water, therapeutic, you know. Something about it, it's just like this, the gently flowing, rippling music, water, you know. He leadeth me beside the still waters. You know, he does that for us today, amen. Do you know what? He leads you, when you want to follow Jesus, he leads you into a good church.
That's still waters. That's a place of peace. Not out in the world, you know. He brings us into a Bible study. You know, that's still waters. Not in the pub. There's no peace in that. He brings us, he provides for us discipleship so we can learn of him. And we don't have to be like the last people of the world that says they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's no peace in that. All the time learning, 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 trying to get the truth, and they just can't get it. He provides for us a ministry, you know. So we can feel useful and do something for the Lord. Not doing, you know, if you're just doing nothing, then you feel terrible. You have this terrible guilt. And you feel you don't have a sense of worth. But there is peace in working, you know. Sitting at home doing nothing, that's not peace at all. That's just turmoil. If you have work, it gives you rest, amen, it's peace. So he provides for us some sort of ministry. Everybody has a ministry to do. If you haven't found it, you should. But you get peace in that. Do you know what? He gives us a new family. We're in the sheepfold of God, into his family. It's not a broken home. Okay, it's a unified home. And there's peace in that. There's still waters. Amen. Where we have rest. Let's go on. I think we missed a bit there. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. You know what that means? I know one thing. My soul was once dark and had no life, but he restored my soul. He regenerated my spirit. He gave me everlasting life. And he keeps me when I fall. He lifts me up. So he restoreth my soul. Praise God. You know, like, he restores what was broken. What was just a almost destroyed by this world, he can restore, amen. He can work on you and work on you and work on you and make you a gem, and he will make you more like Jesus Christ. Restore my soul, praise God. When I'm down, he lifts me up. I might go into depression once or twice, but he brings me out of it, amen. And he restoreth my soul. That's present tense. He keeps doing that. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now he leads his own people in right paths or right ways to keep us on the straight and narrow and not to wander off in paths that would lead to ruin. He wants the best for us. Paths of righteousness. He leads us to live a life of holiness that we may glorify God and bring honor to his name. In 1 Corinthians 6:20 it says this way, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, to bring glory and honor to God. Now he works with me, he's patient with me, but sometimes I go against him. But he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He keeps bringing me back to that place of righteousness, of holiness. And that's to the glory of God, amen. He gets the honor in that. It's not me, or it's not any of us. You know, God gets all that glory. He's the one that's long-suffering and patient and keeps working on us and brings us all the way there. Bless you. I was wondering where you're praying there for a while. You're going like this. It's just building up. Amen. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay. Next verse. Yea, ooh, this is a big one. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Ooh, what is the valley of the shadow of death? I think I know something close to that. Now, it's not a good example, but it'll give you an idea. I don't know if you have seen Mahon Falls. You ever seen Mahon Falls? It's a waterfall up there near Dungarvan. in Waterford. It's a place there called Mahon Falls. And I remember just trying to get to see this waterfall one evening, and I kind of rushed up there after work, and it was getting dark. I remember on my own just parking the car and walking down to the falls. And it's actually inside these mountains or these cliffs, these jagged-edged cliffs, you know. And up on top, you can see these shapes, just like there are statues or figures all around the mountaintop, you know. And, you know, and you see these shadows then coming down and where you're walking through, and it's kind of like, ooh, that's kind of, well, I can't wait to get out of here. I just keep running up here and see the falls and running back, you know. I tell you, it was scary. I don't know what it was about that place. It was eerie, you know. It's like, it gives you an idea what it's like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know. You're in a dark place, you know. It's like, ew. You know? There's also some other place up there. If anybody goes up that way, you might as well see this as well. It's called the Magic Road. You ever hear the Magic Road up there? Well, if you park the car in neutral, it actually goes uphill. Your car will actually roll up the hill, they say, you know. And some people say, I parked the car in neutral, and you know. And next thing I had to, the car just took off up the hill, and I had to take evasive action so I wouldn't go through the wall. But they say that it's called the Magic Road, but you know, I don't know. And then, I don't know, is there an underground magnet there or something? I don't know. I can't say. There's also this fairy tree then beside it, where people hang all their relics and put things on, you know, all this superstitious stuff on the fairy tree, you know. I know. But you can check it out if you're up there, and maybe bring up a level and a big long straight edge and see is it actually going uphill or downhill, you know. Because, you know, it can be deceiving with the contours of the... Something to look at if you're over there next year, maybe on the Children's Club, you know. It's not far from there. It's only a few miles. You can have a look at that. Okay. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, God will lead me and guide me in the paths of righteousness, even though sometimes that path might go through the darkest and gloomy valley. It'll have deep troughs and it'll be dark shades, totally unlike the green pastures where his fold is. But you know something? It's only a temporary journey. And sometimes we go right down and go through terrible testing. And sometimes we can't see where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. But it doesn't matter. In that dark, gloomy valley, though I could not guide myself, I will not be alarmed. I will not be afraid of wandering or getting lost. I will not fear any enemies there, for my shepherd is always with me to guide me still, and I know I can trust him all the way. Do you know that's what he says in Matthew, isn't it? He says, and lo, I am with you always. That means all the way, even unto the end of the world. Though we cannot see him, by faith we believe he will not leave us alone, but is our companion. He's our comforter, our protector, and our guide. You know, that's like a test of faith. And when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, you can't see, it's like dark. You can't guide your own way out. You can't see it. But God will lead us all the way. That's a test of faith. You just have to trust in him, amen? And just kind of like go for it and just keep going. And just rely on God. That'll get you to rely on God, amen? Sometimes you'll have no choice. He'll put you in a situation where you just have no help, nobody can help you, and you just have to turn to God and rely upon him and him alone. And only he can help you through it. Amen. There was a young lad, this is a true story, 17 years old, and he was approaching what he called the valley of the shadow of death. He was actually dying, but he knew Christ as his savior. And his father said to him, he said, it's all peace and joy, Frank, is it not? Oh, he replied, it has been peace and joy all along, but now it's overflowing. Just think of that. Overflowing peace and joy in the middle of all that suffering. And death was certainly to come to him. He will die. He did. But what a thing to say. Praise God. What faith. Amen. I just like these old stories of faith. There's another martyr in Switzerland in the old days, in times of persecution. This martyr was there and he was going to burn him at the stake. And he was standing on the sticks, pile of sticks, tied to the stake. And he called over the magistrate, you know, the guy that was supervising his execution. Not for doing anything wrong, just for his faith in Christ. And he called over the magistrate and he says, come here. I want to, you know, come here to me. And he says, I'm about to die by fire. He says, lay your hand on my heart. Oops. Lay your hand on my heart. If it beats, and if this is serious, don't laugh. Starting up. He's got to die by fire. And he says to the magistrate, lay your hand on my heart. And if it beats any faster than it normally beats, he says, do not believe my religion. Mm. The magistrate, his heart himself was pounding, you know. He put his hand on the man's chest. And he felt his heart. And it was just as calm as if he was going to bed. You know, and that's the power of peace of God, right, which passeth all understanding. Yeah. You can't understand that. But that's God. I mean, those guys are burning in the flames, but they had peace. Amen. Amen. There was another guy, you know, the pastor talks about him a lot. The guy called, you ever heard of Christmas Evans, yeah? Christmas Evans, yeah. He was an old Welsh evangelist. And remember, he used to win a lot of people. He just knew John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He just used that verse to win so many to Christ. Well, do you know what his last words were before he died? He was a simple man. You know, didn't make things complex. He just said, goodbye, drive on. Amen. That's what he said, his last words. Goodbye, drive on. I mean, that's faith, that's encouraging, you know. There's a lot in that. You see the, you know, goodbye, drive on. Wow. So, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thou art with me. He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod is for protection. Now, if the shepherd is out there, there's lots of things trying to get to the sheep. There'd be wolves, there'd be, in David's time, he fought off, a bear and a lion. And obviously, he was a shepherd of the sheep at the time, even though he was a boy, and he would have used that rod to fight them off. But he killed the bear and the lion. God helped him somehow. But the rod is for protection, it's defense. It's a defense weapon. It's also, it's comforting. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. How can the rod comfort you? Well, in Leviticus 27:32, it says, and concerning the tithe of the herd, or of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. So the sheep used to pass under the rod when they count the sheep. But just think about it this way, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If you pass under the rod, being God's sheep, amen, you're in his fold, you're in his family, that's comforting, amen. My name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. It's comforting to know that, amen. Amen. When you get to heaven and you see your name written down, you say, oh, that's comforting, amen. So, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Now, what about some people say that and say, that can't mean chastisement. That's not comforting at all. It might be. Because sometimes a child of God may get into sin, he can't get himself out of it. He's stuck. He's in trouble. And God, by his grace, will actually chastise his own children and bring them out of that sin. And he will do that. He won't leave you alone. He loves his own, amen. And a father who loves his children will chastise him. A shepherd will look after his sheep, you know. He won't let them go off into the world and be condemned with the world. He wants them separated from the world. So that rod is comforting. And after that, after the chastisement, it is very comforting. Amen? You're like, you're different. You're better. Amen? You're cleaned up. That's comforting. Do you know, it's also comforting to say, you know, do you ever hear a Christian say, well, how come God never chastises me? You know, you ever hear that? How come God never chastised me? And they're frustrated by this. Why didn't God chastise me? I met a guy like that. He said, why couldn't I do this and I do that? Why doesn't God chastise me? You know, he's looking for a confirmation that he's saved. He wants God to chastise him so he knows he's saved. You know, it's comforting to know that when you do get chastised, you are saved. Amen. God won't let you away with your sin. So thy rod and thy staff, yeah, they do comfort you. Amen. The staff has a crook in the end of it. And the shepherd can use this to pull a wandering sheep back. It's comforting to know that God won't let us go out into the world and be destroyed with the world. He sees us going and get the good shepherd will get the staff and catch you by the leg and pull you back in. Stay where you belong. Amen. Stay in church. Stay in Bible study. Stay in discipleship. Don't be going out in the pub. Pull you back. I can imagine Dan now come out with the staff. Where are they? Everyone will be found. None will escape. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Amen. Amen. You know, and you know, as a sheep, you can imagine a sheep knows a shepherd. And he trusts him. And he sees the rod and the staff. And he just sees him carrying them around, and that's comforting, you know. You know you're safe, amen. It's comforting. Thy rod and the staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Well, what does that mean? Well, if any man is serving the Lord, he's going to make enemies. Because if you're to be a friend of the world is enmity with God, the Bible says. So if you're just serving the Lord, you're just going to have enemies naturally. Now, without offend, you know, without doing anything wrong, they will hate you. They hated Jesus. They're going to hate you. So if we're actually doing our job, we will have enemies. And we're to pray for them. But the Bible says, here is David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now God prepares a table. It's not just like a meal or something just thrown up there. It's actually prepared. It's like the tablecloth is out there, the knives and the forks, and everything is just like prepared properly. And in the presence of his enemies. Oh yeah, the enemies may say, where's your God now? You know? Will he look after you? Nah. He won't. You know? But you can sit down, David, and just say he prepares in the, right in the middle of his enemies. When they're all hating him and trying to get him off the throne, or they're against him and want to see his downfall, God just prepares that table there right in their presence. He provides for his own, amen. He looks after his own. It's not like, for example, a soldier that's in his presence of his enemies. If he's captured by his enemies, then all he's going to get is some crusty bread. And when something thrown to him, or if he gets a chance, he's just going to eat it quickly. That's what it's like to eat in the presence of your enemies. But God prepares a table. There's no panic. It's all done peacefully. It's perfect peace. You can just sit down in the middle of your enemies and just eat. Unhurried. what's the next one? Thou prepares, surely... Are we missing a bit now? Thou anointest my head with oil. We're missing that part there. Thou anointest my head with oil. Okay. Now, there's a few things about that really. In Israel, it can get very hot in summer. And a shepherd being out amongst the sheep, it can burn your head, you know. But oil is soothing to your head. Thou anointest my head with oil. You could look at it that way, that God is just comforting your head, putting the oil on it, amen? Also, spiritually, you know, you could look at it this way. There's the consolations of the Holy Spirit. Do you know, every day God can give you what you need. He can fill you up with the Holy Spirit. I mean, he says, "Thou anointest my head." We don't have it there. "Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." God gives me more than I need. He fills up my cup and it's like overflowing. Amen. There's no shortage. God provides everything for you. And he gives you enough to give out, to give to others as well. Yeah, distribute it out. So, "my cup runneth over." Amen. So if you need the Holy Spirit, each day God will give it to you. He'll give you enough Holy Spirit and just be overflowing. Amen. Okay, we're nearly there. Surely, that's a sure word, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. One guy, I think it was Dennis, used to talk about a man had two dogs, one called Goodness and one called Mercy, and they just follow him around all the time. Faithful dogs. Everywhere he goes, all, you know, a dog would do that. He'll follow you right into the end, you know. And if actually, if he sees you dead somewhere, he might sit down and just leave and stay there, and he'll die with you. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." But it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance initially. Amen. That goodness stays with us. God only wants good for his own. He still provides good all the way. He's good towards us, even though we might turn against him. We might go our own way. We might like be like a sheep going back into the world, you know. But God is still good. He still brings us out of there. Jesus, like the good shepherd, they go out looking for you. You know, bring you back. The goodness of God. Surely goodness and mercy. Well, that's forgiveness, isn't it? He'll forgive you. He'll bring you back in. We know the story about the prodigal son. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." We can rest in that. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Well, what is the house of the Lord? Well, some might say it's the temple. Some might say it's the body of Christ. Well, okay, I just want to look at that simply. I just know this. If I'm a child of God, I'm going to be in God's home. That's the house of the Lord. Wherever he is, I will be. Amen. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's ever and ever and ever. He will never forsake or leave us and never cast us out. He's got a mansion, I know, prepared for everyone. Whether that's the house of the Lord, maybe. But I know it's just where God is. If he's our Father and we're his children, well, we ought to be in his home. Amen. That's where he is. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I found this. We don't know who wrote it. But he explains this way. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's relationship. "I shall not want." That's supply. Amen. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." Well, that's rest. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." That's refreshment. "He restoreth my soul." That's healing. "He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness." Well, that's guidance. "For his name's sake." That's purpose. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." That's testing. Amen. "I will fear no evil." That's protection. "For thou art with me." That's faithfulness. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That's discipline. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." That's hope. "Thou anointest my head with oil." That's consecration. "My cup runneth over." That's abundance. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's blessing. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." That's security. Forever. That's eternity. Amen. That's a good ending. Amen. Author unknown. Praise God, you know. I thought that was good. You know? That was lovely, you know. I would dwell in that, you know. But, amen. Let's finish there. Let's stand, please, for the closing hymn.